WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bauer Twins.
Yeah, this is Broken Not Haughty. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rack, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We're doing a different intro. He's Rock. I'm Lindsay. We're here. The show's pre-taped. Hey! Get a quick second. Check out our fine friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And follow us on the Twitters, Rack Radio Show. And you can follow us on the Twitches, twitch.tv/WTRLive and at WildTalkRadio on Twitter. I think that's all the mini plugs, maybe. You have like 20 more, don't you?
I could, but I only need to say, hey, have you heard of Amazon Prime? You can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. And you can subscribe for free by hitting the purple rectangle button over at twitch.tv/WTLive.
So, like we said, this is a pre-tape because I have family commitments. This is a Thursday. We're releasing this on a Thursday. But we are not going to be live at our normal time, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com. Or on twitch.tv/WTR live. However, we will be back next week at 10 p.m. Eastern. Live, normal, regular show, but family stuff. So here we are. We are recording the show, and we have a pay-per-view to talk about.
Indeed we do, which will be airing this Sunday on the WWE Network.
Clash of the Champions.
Gold Rush. You gotta make sure you throw in the Gold Rush as the tagline.
Wait, what? There's a Gold Rush?
Yeah.
It's called Gold Rush.
It's called Clash of Champions Gold Rush.
When the hell did that become a thing?
3 weeks ago.
I have not been paying attention at all.
So if you notice, they've subtly thrown the word Gold Rush in some promos, like Drew McIntyre's promos and Randy Orton's promos.
I've not been paying attention.
I know, because you just get lost in all they say, but they've been subtly saying Clash of Champions Gold Rush.
Look, if I have to keep track of taglines now, this is just going to be a problem,
This is why I'm here. I remember the taglines. This is not the horror show at Extreme Rules. This is not the biggest party of the summer that you never saw coming. This is just Clash of Champions Gold Rush.
I still say doing Extreme Rules in June was... The horror show was extremely stupid. That should have been in October.
So this should have been Clash of Champions the horror show?
No, this can be Gold Rush. Whatever next, Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell, the horror show. That goes so much better.
Well, that was going to be in November originally. So
October. What is October?
No, it's going to be Hell in a Cell. Originally, Hell in a Cell was supposed to be November, beginning of November. Now it's the last week in October, so...
Hell in a Cell, the horror show. Boom. Done. Are they going to do that? No. No, they are not, ladies and gentlemen. They are just going to do Hell in a Cell, whatever the tagline is. I don't know. Anyway, we are here to talk about the Clash of the Champions.
No, the it's just Clash of Champions.
But I want to call it the Clash of the
Champions. That's the WCW name.
But it sounds better.
I understand this. That's why WCW did it that way. This is the WWE way. It's Clash of Champions because they were originally Night of Champions. So this is Clash of Champions, Gold Rush. Somebody should keep counting how many times we say Gold Rush.
Tweet us. Ding.
Don't, because I'm just going to throw it in there randomly because, you know, reasons.
Tweet him. Tweet him your counts. All the counts at Wild Talk Radio.
So we have a bunch of matches to get into tonight. And for those wondering, we will have Tweet of the Week.
Yeah, we are doing Tweet of the Week. We're going to break the show up in parts. So it's just not one long glob like we normally do. We are going to split this up so that way you're just not sitting here listening. So we're going to give you a break in between. And we are going to get into the first match, which is on the pre-show. And it's rather unusual this is on the pre-show. I'm kind of surprised, but here we are. Okay, I will actually have to watch the pre-show because this is there. And that is the Raw Women's Championship is on the line as Asuka takes on Zelina Vega.
So, as you mentioned, this is on the pre-show, which is weird because how much of a focus the Raw Women's Championship has been leading up to SummerSlam and going into SummerSlam, it was like a really big deal. So the fact that this is on the pre-show kind of shows you where it sits on this card. You go up and down the card and go, the only other conceivable match I could see them putting on the pre-show would have been the SmackDown Tag Team titles, because that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess this is Raw's turn to have the pre-show, I guess. I don't remember what was on the pre-show at SummerSlam. It's been a while. Because I know Apollo was on one point. Anyway, that doesn't matter.
Was it an Apollo and MVP at one point?
Was it? It might have been. Or that was two pay-per-views ago. I don't know. Apollo Crews has been fighting for US title a lot. So it all blends together. Back to this match. Okay. This match is on the pre-show, so it's pretty much a given that Asuka's winning. So I'll be real. Asuka's going to win this match. I hope for Zelina's sake, they at least make her look credible. Now, when I say that, it's hard to imagine Zelina Vega being credible because it's 2020 and she has one win, which happened on Monday. That doesn't help. I mean, she's great in the ring, but it's like, stats-wise, only having one victory in an entire year?
Well, I mean, to her credit, okay, she's been busy. She's been dealing with her two sons and trying to keep them from murdering each other. So it's a little difficult to be a wrestler and be a mom at the same time. That doesn't mean that she can't do it because she's done it. But, you know, she's been looking after Andrade and Angel and making sure that, you know, they stay out of trouble and trying to get them some gold. And they just both decided to be hoes. And, you know, here we are. So my hope is that they do not squash her. They've broken her out of that team for a reason. I'm not sure what it is. But they've broken her out and they're having her go against Asuka. And I'm hoping that because this is on the pre-show that there are some kind of shenanigans, ideally, because, you know, it never really ever got resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Because reasons. They have Bianca Belair come in and mess up Zelina Vega's life.
Doubtful.
And cost her the match, but it's doubtful because apparently that just got dropped for unknown
reasons.
I mean, other than they did it on Twitch and they pissed somebody off, like, I can't imagine why that got dropped.
Because they're unsure what to do with Bianca, and they have big plans for her, but it's figuring out when to go ahead with set plans.
But it's like they keep bringing her in and out. It's like they brought her up with the Street Profits, and then they kind of had her fade away, and then she kind of came back again with Ruby and Liv.
Which was a stall tactic for Liv to come back.
Yeah, which was a stall tactic for Liv to come back. But I actually liked that trio. It was a good trio.
Oh yeah, Liv, Sass, and those three. It was great.
Like, I feel like that was a missed opportunity to have Bianca with Liv and Ruby and do the Riot Squad, because you could do the Riotest Squad if you want or whatever. But like, that was a missed opportunity. She kind of got pulled out of that. Then she started feuding with Zelina Vega because Zelina Vega poisoned her husband.
And they did the blow off match for that on television.
And then that went away, and now they're bringing her back again. So it's like, can y'all decide what you're going to do with Bianca? Because she's amazing. And I mean, if you needed to cost Zelina the match, that's a way to cost Zelina the match without having to do any kind of follow-up on it, because Zelina and Bianca have beef, so it makes complete sense that Bianca would cost Zelina a title match, because she can. And you can use that for future use and reference if you need to later, but that's if you want to. I'm just hoping they don't have Asuka go out there, squash her in 5 minutes, and that's it.
Which is probably what's going to end up happening, seeing as it's on the pre-show, they're not going to get too much time to devote to this match, because usually the pre-show matches go at most 10 minutes, and with Zelina not working long matches at all this year, kind of find it hard to see them going past 5 minutes on this match, which is unfair. I mean, she's a very competent worker, but when you're not having the reps and going that distance, it's a struggle. We've seen that with a lot of talent. I just hope going forward that they have a plan for an Asuka feud, because her two challengers are in a tag match tonight on the show. So it's like, you're kind of lacking the heels, and we've seen what they've done with Natty and Lana. They've kind of squashed them out. So, and they already beat Peyton on Raw this past Monday. So it's like, looking ahead, it's like, hopefully the direction is Asuka Bianca as a long-term program, because that would actually be really good and help establish Bianca as a top threat in the division, especially if she could beat Asuka down the road. But I don't know. I don't know if they have the full direction they want to go yet.
I feel like they're also maybe kind of stalling too for the draft a little bit, because, and this is just my opinion, they don't necessarily want to start anything just because things can go so haywire with the draft. Like, you think you know, because we've heard it 1,000 times with the draft, every time they're going to do it, that they think they know who's moving and who's not moving, and then at the last minute things change and storylines get screwed up and tag teams get split up and groups get split up. Because it's interesting, right? It's not necessarily the best move for the talent or the storyline, but they'll do it just because it's interesting and it's going to generate essentially buzz. So I feel like maybe there's some hole going on here for that. There's been kind of a shakeup in the writing again, where they've gone back to a different writing style than what they were doing. So they could be trying to figure things out there. I don't know. It all feels very, though, like kind of stalled.
Yeah, and Zelina's a nice fill gap. I honestly thought this was going to be Mickie James' match, but they blew that on Raw too.
Well, I think that's the other part of it too, is Mickie maybe getting hurt, maybe not getting hurt.
But she fought Zelina on Monday, so she was fine. So I don't know.
There was something going on with that scree finish. I don't know. There's no consistent story on that, and Mickie's now out of the title picture, so I don't know what to say about that.
Anyway, Asuka retains.
Asuka retains. One way or another, Asuka retains.
Okay, Magic 8-Ball, will Asuka retain on Sunday? Yes, definitely, it says. A magical wheel of fun?
Wrestler 1.
Asuka. Everyone's going Asuka.
I mean, it makes sense. They're not going to do any big surprising title changes on the pre-show unless they're just feeling ballsy.
I mean, they have in the past, but for this one on the Gold Rush, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I would say they're going to have Asuka hold on to that until they're ready for, have somebody ready to go for her. So, all right, I'm assuming this is the main show.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see. U.S. titles on the line as Bobby Lashley takes on Apollo Crews.
So this is a SummerSlam rematch, which I feel like we've seen 1,000 times, but we really haven't, because they've all just been feuding with each other for months now. I think this is going to be the blow-off, I would hope. I feel like they need to move Apollo Crews onto something else.
But they don't have anything.
I know they don't have anything. That's the problem. But they gotta move Bobby onto something else. And Bobby's something else is Retribution.
And they're gonna play a factor in this.
I don't know whether they play a factor in this match or something later in the show. Who knows, but...
No, they're probably gonna be all over the show because they're going to try really, really, really hard to get this iteration of Retribution over. So I'd imagine we'll see what we saw on Raw, which is they will just be everywhere.
Probably. But I expect a clean finish in this matchup. I expect Bobby Lashley to cleanly retain the title, because Lashley is probably more in the cards for something rather than Apollo right now. Because Apollo's, as we said, he lacks something, and him feuding with the same people over and over again in the mid-card doesn't really do anything for anyone. And him going to have a third match with Lashley, I don't think that's going to be a thing. I think Lashley retains here. Apollo getting off of Raw and going to SmackDown may be best for him.
Could be.
But then again, he spent 2 years on SmackDown and no one knew. So.
Yeah, he's another one that they've been kind of pushing, and then they took the foot off the accelerator, and now they're pushing him again, but they're kind of taking the foot off the accelerator. They don't really know what they're doing with him.
He's sort of in neutral right now.
Yeah, it's like him and Ricochet, they're just sort of there. They're feuding with the Hurt Business, but they're not. I think they're kind of flirting with having them join the Hurt Business, but they're not going to because they're the good guys. But I don't know. Like, I'm just not sure. It's like, could they get recruited into the Hurt Business? And then that way MVP has more numbers against Retribution because obviously that's where they're going.
But I doubt that because Apollo's turned them down multiple times. So it's like, I don't think after this point he's going to go, hey, yeah, I'm going to join you guys after 5 months of storyline beatdowns. Doesn't quite mesh.
Stranger things have happened, though.
I know stranger things have happened, but...
Maybe he's tired of losing. Maybe he's tired of getting beat up by Retribution. Maybe he wants to get some retribution of his own. Maybe he wants to break the group up from the inside. No better way than to divide and conquer. And you got to do that from within, so you could have him do that too.
Yeah, doesn't mean it sounds like good.
I know, but I'm just trying to think of something or anything that you could do, and that's something you could do. I'm not saying they're going to do that, but it's something, right?
It is definitely something. That is for sure.
It's better than him sitting in the back not being on TV. Anyway,
yeah. Bobby Lashley retains. 8-ball, does Bobby Lashley retain? Outlook, not so good. Magical Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 2.
So that's a cruise. So the 8-ball and the Wheel of Fun go with Apollo and we go Bobby Lashley.
There you go. All right. The WWE Women's Tag Team Championships are on the line as Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler take on the Riot Squad. This is a tricky one to pick.
No, it's not.
Okay, explain.
Nia and Shayna win.
I don't want them to.
No, I really want the Riot Squad to win. Like, you say it's not tricky. Yeah, it's not tricky because we know the outcome.
We know the outcome, but
that's
it's...
not the outcome we want. I want the Riot Squad to win. I want Liv and Ruby to have that success story and get the win. Like, legitimately, that's what I want out of this. I want to see Liv and Ruby do some really good things together, and getting the bounce off of Nia and Shayna would be the start of it, because, let's be real, the Nia-Shayna pairing is not the greatest pairing in the world. They had their successful title defense over Bayley and Sasha on SmackDown, which led to the breakup of Bayley and Sasha. The Riot Squad just needs a win for legitimacy purposes. It's like, if you keep beating them in every opportunity that they ever get, then you're never going to believe in them. Look at the Iconics. They got one chance for the titles, and then they won them. They really didn't do much with them.
I mean, if the whole point of the women's tag titles is to have a tag division, which clearly for men or women they really don't give a crap about, then you need to have credible tag teams. And I feel like you've gone to a lot of trouble to reunite Liv and Ruby and bring them back together just to job them out to Nia and Shayna. And I'm kind of wondering if Nia and Shayna were sort of a stopgap for somebody else, but I'm not 100% sure. I mean...
See, I have more interesting Ruby and Liv go to SmackDown and fight people who I don't know. Alexa and Nikki, whenever they're on the same page. I'd love to see them take the
belt. That would be cool to see, but Alexa and Nikki...
Yeah, I don't... Up. Like I said, if they were on the same page. I would love to see them go down to NXT and fight a couple of tag teams down there just to mix things up. Because just like it was cool when Bayley and Sasha went back as tag champs. Ruby and Liv going back down there as tag champs. I mean, that's cool. That's cool business. Like, put them up against Dakota and Raquel, or Tegan and Shotzi, or whatever. And Kaden, it doesn't matter. Just do some stuff with them. It'd be cool. I want to see them do more with the Riot Squad, because Liv and Ruby are really good in terms of characters. Ruby's really good in the ring. Liv is improving. And it's like, at some point, you have to develop these characters in the more than just eye candy and, you know, sort of a backstory, but not really some backstory.
Well, there's backstory. There's backstory from the previous Riot Squad. But what's really nice about Liv and Ruby is personality wise, they complement each other. They give the other someone to play off of, someone to work together with. They're better with each other because there's a comfort level there between them because they're friends,
they're
right?
They're best friends.
So they can come up with stuff. They can do things that when they're not together, it's more challenging for them because it's like you're trying to stand on your own. When you have somebody standing next to you, especially your best friend, it's a lot easier. I really like the concept that they established with Bayley and Sasha, which is the women's tag titles travel. Mm-hmm. I know it is not ideal when they go back on the road, and they can become brand specific if they want when they go back on the road. But for right now, because they're stationary in the Thunderdome, it makes complete sense that the tag titles can show up on Raw, on SmackDown, on NXT. They can move around so you can have a, like you said, a group of women go after those titles. And you can have the division there, and that gives you content for all three shows. But for whatever reason, they're not, aside from when Bayley and Sasha had them, they're not necessarily as interested in that here yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, Nia and Shayna had their novelty for me, and now it's like, just please, I just don't want to see Liv and Ruby lose. Like, I just don't want to see it. And I'm kind of hoping that there's some kind of DQ, that this is not a clean finish, and that's how this ends, like Nia DQs them so they retain the titles, or Shayna does a DQ so they retain the titles. But maybe that Nia and Shayna aren't on the same page or something like that, and something happens, and so they have to end the match themselves, not necessarily with a clean win, to hold on to the gold. I'm spitballing here, right? Because I've got nothing. I got nothing here. I mean, it's going to be Nia and Shayna. They're going to win. End of story. But I really don't want them to.
Yeah. I'm in agreement. All right, I'm going Nia and Shayna. I like Shayna. Like, it's not a knock on Shayna. I really like what Shayna does. It's just, I don't know, the pairing with Nia just doesn't do much for me.
Their personalities kind of clash with each other.
Nia has a terrible personality.
I'm sure she's a lovely person.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I'm sure she's a very lovely person.
Her character sucks.
Yeah, it's like Shayna's character is that she doesn't give a fuck, that she's a badass, she knows she's a badass, and she walks around like her shit doesn't stink. And the thing is Shayna has the street cred from being in MMA, from being in, I think she was actually in UFC, from being around and fighting legit, that she can carry that character. Because all she's got to do is point to YouTube and be like, you think I can't beat your ass? Video A, video B, video C.
She was in UFC and Strikeforce.
So Shayna has some legit cred. Nia is intimidating, but she's got a level of street cred, but is not as high as Shayna, because Shayna is a legit fighter, an actual legit fighter. And it's like, that's why she just dominated down in NXT, is because that character was just, for her, it was so untouchable. It's like nobody could shake her. That was the thing. Nobody can shake Shayna Baszler. She's that confident. Nia is trying to do that same level of confidence, but I feel like she can't carry it as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, though. Like, there's just, Nia's like trying to do the same thing, but it's just, it's not coming off as genuine. Because I think it's just in the attitude, right? Like, Shayna, that's in her attitude. I don't think she's nearly as cocky or as much of an asshole in real life. I'm sure, again, she's a perfectly lovely person. But in terms of in WWE, like, she has that genuine credibility with her, where Nia, I feel like, doesn't have that same level of credibility, and so it just does not come off as genuine. And so the two of them together, when they come together, it clashes a little bit. And it's supposed to, because they're supposed to be this odd couple, right? That they're not supposed to get along, and it's the team hell no, it's every other odd couple thing that we've seen, where eventually they're going to become BFFs, and then they're going to split apart and feud, right? That's where we're going with this.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I even want it to get that far.
It doesn't interest me. It just doesn't. It doesn't interest me at all.
Like, if you're going to push Shayna towards Asuka, please.
It's what people want to see.
And honestly, this is just me, but put the title on Shayna and let Shayna run the division for a while. Let her carry the division for a while.
Either her or Bianca, someone, something to shake things. Just shake things up a little bit.
And that's not a knock against Asuka at all, because Asuka has worked extremely hard to get that title back, and she's carried it very, very well. But like, just something, like Rock said, to shake the division up. Somebody to really just hold the division down, kind of like what Bayley and Sasha did for a while.
Something to push Asuka, because she needs to be pushed.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
All right, you're going Nia
and Shayna. I'm going Nia and Shayna.
I'm going Nia and Shayna. Magic 8-Ball, will Nia and Shayna retain on Sunday?
I thought we already picked it.
No.
Oh.
Not so good. Wheel.
Wrestler 1.
Nia and Shayna. So at least the 8-Ball believes in the Riot Squad. Next.
Speaking of tag divisions, and sort of just leaving them at the wayside, the SmackDown Tag Team Championships are on the line, as Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura take on the Lucha House Party. This is going to be Cesaro and Nakamura all day long, twice on Sunday. Legit.
I mean, you know, it's Cesaro and Nakamura. The love they have for each other, the love Cesaro has for Nakamura, and vice versa. You could, if you watch Talking Smack, that you just kind of see it. The admiration society between the two, they learn so much from each other. Especially Nakamura's for Cesaro. I mean, it's awesome. Right now, storyline standpoint, Lucha House Party has a little bit of dissension amongst the group, and because Kalisto came back and he's sort of not the same Kalisto he once was, and they're all trying to figure things out as a group, so it's like,
Who keeps getting stuck in the middle? Is it Metalik?
I think so.
I think it's Metalik that keeps getting stuck in the middle of the three of them fighting, and it's like, oh, you poor thing. You're just here to have a good time and wrestle, and like these other two are just like not fun about it. I'm so sorry.
Maybe Lindsay. I don't remember. They all wear the same mask. It's just hard to tell them apart. It's not racist. It's a fact. Yeah, this will be good. You throw this on second on the card. Get it out of the way. Give them 10 minutes. You'll get a show. But it's Cesaro Nakamura. I mean, there's no point in putting on Lucha House Party. I mean, they could just to have a surprise title change on the show because...
They can, but I doubt it.
Because looking up and down this card, you go, I don't see much of a change. So if you're going to change a belt, this could be the match you change a belt on.
Well, no, we're going to talk about one where the belt's going to change, potentially.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, for the most part, we're going to go champion retains for most of us. At least I am, the way I'm looking at it. So I'm going Cesaro Nakamura retain. You?
Same thing.
Hey, but does the Lucha House Party have a chance at winning on Sunday? Yes. Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 2.
Okay. They're more in favor of Lucha House Party than we are.
So, there you go. All right. Up next, the battle of the true champion. Who is the real IC champion? Is it Jeff Hardy? Is it AJ Styles? Or is it Sami Zayn? Shrugs. Who knows? But we're going to find out in a ladder match as these three men fight over the IC championship. They've done a really nice job in building this, especially bringing Sami back and bringing his grievance of, I never should have been stripped of the title, which is legit. He really never should have been stripped of the title, but he was, and therefore he never lost his championship. So in his mind, he's still the IC champion.
And by the way, since he's come back, his mic work has been fantastic. It was the same way before he left, but since he's been back,
it's been great. Just everything he's been doing has been super ultra on point, and it's been so good.
Him coming out every week, wanting to be announced as Intercontinental Champion, then them all refusing to do it. Like one week it wasn't in the format. Sorry, Sami, it wasn't in the sheets. Sorry.
Just the little things, right? It's the little things to get around it.
Oh, one of my favorite segments was when he came back the first week, and it was he went up to Cesaro and Nakamura, and they wanted nothing to do with him. It's like, hey guys, I'm back. I mean, did you miss me?
Which makes me a little sad because they were such a good group together, but Shinsuke and Cesaro have evolved. They've moved on.
So, also, saying this for a while now, AJ Styles is great. But why is he great now? Not for anything he's doing in the ring, but for finding a sidekick that he brings along every once in a while named Joseph Park.
The fact that this is a thing.
The fact that Joseph Park is a thing in WWE history now.
In 2020 is just perfect. It's so perfect. I love Joseph Park so much. I love that it's him and AJ, because again, you talk about two guys who have been up and down the roads, who have fought some wars, who have struggled, who have succeeded together. It's these two. They saw the worst of TNA, and man, they saw the best of TNA, and now they're back together again. And you could just tell. You could just tell with AJ. He's like, this is my friend. I love him.
By the way,
I'm supposed to hate him, but I love him.
By the way, hands down, one of my favorite interviews we've ever done was with Joseph Park.
We tried, yeah. Yeah, interviewing Joseph Park.
We got him peak Joseph Park, too.
Yeah. Even though he scares me, I am legit terrified of the man.
Mm.
It was so nice to, like, speak with him, because I just love everything about the character. Like, you just want to walk up and hug him. And if you don't know what's laying on the other side of that suit, it's great. But there's a monster that lurks beneath the suit.
In the abyss.
In the abyss.
Anyway. So that's been great to see. Sammy's been great to come back. And Jeff's been Jeff. Jeff's been really good, too. And the three of them in a ladder match on pay-per-view.
Oh, this is going to be so good.
It's going to be good. So Jeff good. Hardy knows how to do ladder matches. You need a good ladder match, Jeff's your man, because he'll do things like he shouldn't. But I'm feeling this won't be as crazy high risk as normal ladder matches. There'll be some big spots. But I have a feeling we're going to get a little bit more storytelling with the ladder. Because it's 3 men, it's not 6, it's not 7, it's not 8, it's just 3 men doing their thing. So it won't be crazy chaotic, but you'll have enough elements in it to go, holy crap, this is really good. And this, let's be real, could be match of the night.
This has the real potential to be match of the night. I'm kind of hoping, like, I low-key actually kind of want this to be the opener, just to really set the show off on a right foot and a right tone. I don't think it will be, but wherever it goes, it's going to be really, really good. I just hope they give it the time that it deserves.
They'll have the time, yeah. They'll have plenty of time.
I just don't want them to, like, rush it or cut it short or, you know, I hope they really give these three the chance to just absolutely work and kick ass. Like, because this will just be so good.
Having it open, having Jeff Hardy's music open the show, smart idea. Big star mm-hmm. coming out to open. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. As for a winner, as we praise all three men, from a storyline standpoint, it would be funny for Sammy to win it. See, it's the whole, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so, I was the real Intercontinental Champion. I don't think that's going to happen. But he could also hold the claim of, I was never pinned. And you could do Jeff and Sammy one-on-one. Because I think Jeff's going to retain. I think they're banking on Jeff as Intercontinental Champion for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I think Jeff's going to retain, but I think we win any case in any scenario here. And I hope this is every bit as good as I think it's going to be.
And I think it will be. All right, Magic 8 Ball. I'll do this one. Magic 8 Ball, does Sami Zayn, I guess, win the Intercontinental title on Sunday? Question mark? Very doubtful. Will AJ Styles win the Intercontinental Championship on Sunday? Yes, definitely. All right, Magical Wheel of Fun. Who do you think?
Wrestler 1.
That would be Jeff Nero Hardy.
Alrighty. And well, we're not going to take a break, but we're going to pause. We're going to do something a little different just to sort of give everybody a chance to, you know, if you need to take a break, if you need to pause the show, you know, what have you. We're going to do Tweet of the Week. Please don't fast forward through this because it should be funny and enjoyable, we hope. But yeah, so we're just going to take a quick break from the pay-per-view. Reset, because we have some funny tweets we have to read. So, Rock, hit the bumper.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty, so the following is a conversation between one Dr. Disrespect, one Nick Merckx, and one Dr. Lupo.
It's Lupo, man.
Dr. Disrespect. I'm getting so sick and tired of little Nick Merks and Tim the Tatman flapping their ugly looking gums. Anybody else? Nick Merks. What are you talking about? Stick figure looking ass, bugging out, old man, it's late, go to bed. Dr. Disrespect. Stick figure, 6'8", 215 pounds, lean and aggressive, eye-hand coordination maxed out, proportionately perfect. Shit, I'll throw some neon lights on so you can see. And it's a picture of him with neon lights. Nick Merks. All I need to see, old man, legs feed the wolf. And it's a picture of his legs. And Dr. Disrespect goes, I'm sprawling out to 7'1" extension. Yeah, to catch your fucking breath. Thank you, come again, goes, why do I feel like you're actually upset, Nick, lol? And Nick goes, nah, never. I'm just always horny. It's weird. Dr. Lupo, relatable. Of course he is. Of course he's always hungry. Cypher PK. Tomorrow is my 3-year anniversary with the wifey, and I've waited last minute to figure out what I'm going to do. Okay, so before I continue on, why would you tweet this out on Twitter? Your wife follows you.
She tweeted play-by-play of him.
Yeah, I have it all. We're going to go there.
Okay.
But I need to ask this question.
Because, you know, it's 2020 and you tell everyone everything.
But why? You're either planning the most, like, five-head surprise ever for her, or you're just your forehead by tweeting out the fact that, you know, you forgot your anniversary.
He's going for impressions.
He's going for impressions. Mrs. Cypher PK Manchi goes, I gave you scheduled reminders for 2 months. In person. Through text. On stream. Good luck. He's dead, by the way. Co-tweets to her husband. I've been putting myself last for years. It's time to make myself number one priority. He's so dead. He's just so dead. Johnny Gargano. Not only will we become the first married couple to win gold in NXT at the same time, but when Candace wins the NXT women's title, legally, by marriage, what's mine is hers, and vice versa. We will have held all four titles and become the first Grand Slam power couple. God damn it, Johnny figured out a loophole.
He did indeed find a loophole.
So Johnny Gargano could in fact become the NXT women's champion by default.
By default, indeed. Programming note, next week live, we'll be previewing NXT TakeOver on the Rec.
So many pay-per-views. And that's all I got. So go ahead.
So you were saying, going back to the Cypher stuff, she did play-by-play of him leaving the house.
Oh, see, I didn't get all that. I didn't see all that.
Oh, yeah. She did a whole play-by-play thing of him going and getting it. She never said what he got because she wanted to keep that private. But she was doing play-by-play of him being gone for 2 hours and stuff like that. Anyway, authority figure Adam Pierce. Sunday, fun day, fun fact. It is normal wedding behavior for me to grab a mic and embarrass myself. So let's give the greatest performance of Baby Got Back on Earth. Ninja. Lions are going 15-1 this season. Let's go, baby, football Sunday. Dr. Lupo. I'll take tweets that won't age well for 500, Alex. Dr. Lupo. Tough so far for the Lions, but at least I'm not a Cowboys fan. Cowboys would win their game.
We're not talking about that.
John Gonzalez. No fans at the Eagles game is bullshit. Someone needs to be there to boo. True. Not SportsCenter. NFL Week 2 injury report. Dead. Basically everyone. Dead inside, Cowboys fans. On life support, the NFC East. Barely breathing, your fantasy team. Somehow still alive, Tom Brady. Fully healthy, your fantasy opponent. True. Last week, we had power rankings from Ryan Russillo. It was number 1, Bill. Number 2, Tom. We have updated power rankings for Week 2. Tom 1, Bill 2. The Undertaker. Digging holes and scoring goals. At LCFC.
Okay, can I just say this? Because I'm not sure if I've said this publicly on any shows. It's really awesome and yet completely weird to see The Undertaker sitting on the couch with his family playing video games in a commercial. Like, respect! Respect! Because I feel like he's making up for lost time and doing all the crap that he could never do before. But it's just weird. It's just really weird. Also, the man does not know how to use an Xbox controller, you can tell. Or a PlayStation. I think that's a PlayStation controller.
Mm-hmm.
Might be PlayStation. He doesn't know how to use it. The man's never played video games. But he can fake it. And that's fine. And he got whooped by his daughter like every good father should. So, good job, Mark!
And finally, not SportsCenter. Dan Quinn. On the Falcons blowing a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. At least it wasn't the Super Bowl. Can you imagine if we did that in the Super Bowl? Oh. Right. Never mind.
Can I just say what's really sad about it is at first 28-3. If y'all don't know, which you should know, I don't know why you wouldn't know, but if this is your first time listening to the show, I'm from Atlanta. I've been a Falcons fan my whole life. Yes, I have learned to live with disappointment. It's what you do here. If you love a sports team, it's the same thing with the Braves. You just accept it and move on with your life, except for this time I can't get over it. But like, what's really sad is 28-3 was a meme, right? It's the joke because the Falcons were the laughingstock of the NFL because of how they played that Super Bowl, right? They gave that away to the Patriots. Gave it away. They had that locked in and they just stopped playing in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened is the offense got cold and they could never get warmed back up and the defense wore out and then the Patriots were just able to walk all over them. That's what happened in that game. This game was kind of similar, but not really. Anyway, 28-3, a meme, a joke, right? Except now it's a lifestyle. Like, that is just how the Falcons live their life. Like, the day that they figure out there are four quarters in a football game and you play all four quarters, oh my god, guys, watch out. It's going to be a thing. It will be a sight to behold. But yeah, I'm just slightly bitter about Sunday. Just, that shouldn't have happened at all. But it did, because that's our team. Yay. I'm sorry, go on.
That's all I have.
I had to rant about that. I had to let that out. I feel better now. By the way, good job to the Cowboys.
No.
Very good job to the Cowboys.
No, they just locked in to win. They didn't do anything special.
I mean, I'm sorry, but if you force, like, what, five fumbles in the first quarter alone, technically I think it might have been six, just one, it didn't get called a fumble. Like, legit, Atlanta forced, like, five turnovers within a, what, 10-minute period, and were able to capitalize and get up, like, a 20-something point lead over Dallas in the first quarter, and then they kind of widened the lead. Dallas started to catch back up, and then they widened it again, and then they lost it. Like, how do you do that? How do you just give the game away? Especially in the fourth quarter, like, 4 minutes left, and they had a 2-score lead, and they gave the game away. They gave it away. I've said this to Rock, he's heard this 1,000 times now, but it was so ungodly levels of obvious that they were going to shirk that kick. Why didn't somebody look at the special teams and go, if they shirk the kick, fall on the ball the second he kicks it? Why didn't anybody say that? Don't assume they know anything. Just tell them. And I'm sure they know. They're supposed to know. They're absolutely supposed to know. But I'm just saying, in moments like that where it's crucial to win the game, over communication is a thing. There's problems there. There's so many problems. Anyway, let's talk about a pay-per-view, because I'm going to sit here and rant about football.
By the way, you go to facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork this weekend and leave your picks for Clash of Champions Gold Rush as we get back into it here on the rack. Presented, as always, by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you haven't heard of Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen on twitch.tv/WGLive. And use creator code ROCKETSUCK in the Fortnite item shop. #ad #EpicPartner. Because it's Llama Rama with Rocket League now part of Epic Games. And it's free. Ding. It's free for all. And you can get free rewards in both games, Llama Rama, this weekend. Code Rock and Sock. #ad.
By the way, can I just, like, minorly complain that there is no Bray Wyatt on this show? Where is he?
I know where he is.
I know where he is.
He's doing a meet and greet for $125, virtually.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. That's what he's doing on Sunday.
But I meant on the show. Why is he not on the
because
show?
Because he has no feud at the moment. His subtle feud with Roman Reigns is coming. But speaking of Bray Wyatt, it ties into the next match.
It does. So, all right. The SmackDown Women's Championship is on the line as Bayley takes on Nikki Cross. And yes, and Little Miss Bliss is probably going to play a major factor in this match. She does have a keyword, May 19th, anybody? Does that sound familiar? Except hers isn't May 19th. Oh no, it is The Fiend. Boom, 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 boom. And when you mention his name, she gets a murderous glint. And then she gives you a Sister Abigail with a sweet little kiss.
Oh god, the Sister Abigail of Lacey Evans on SmackDown was freaking awesome.
She ended her!
Yeah.
She ended her right there! On national television.
Awesome.
It was spectacular. But in every other time, Alexa's fine. She's ultra sweet, ultra nice. It's basically Funhouse Alexa and Fiend Alexa. That's what we're seeing. But when she's Funhouse Alexa, she's fun, and she's here to support her friend Nikki, who's chasing gold. Which is really how this all got started, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Nikki was chasing gold. Nikki left Alexa by herself.
After losing to Bailey again.
And a certain fiend descended upon Miss Bliss and took her away and, well, left his imprint on her forever.
So, as mentioned, again was Bailey and Nikki. So again, we're getting Bailey and Nikki for like the fourth or fifth time this summer.
But it's always good.
It's going to be a solid, good match. But the amount of times Nikki's going to end up losing to Bailey is just like, oh, I feel bad for her. But at the same time, I don't, because Bailey's the one character you have to protect with everything right now. Because you have a big moment coming up where someone should take the championship away from her.
Mm-hmm.
That being Sasha Banks at WrestleMania, but that's probably be at Hell in a Cell. I'll say this. I was fine with the angle they did on SmackDown. I liked it. I liked how Bailey attacked her. Even though Sasha, with a neck injury, never just kept moving her neck. She must have really good painkillers.
Hey, she sold it with the emotion.
She had a great emotion. I liked everything they did with the angle. I really did. The fact that they said she didn't suffer any more injuries, kind of just like, you could have delayed it a little bit more, but I know what they're doing because of the Mandalorian, everything like that. They want to keep Sasha relevant, keep her on television. I get all the things. I don't see Sasha in this match playing a role. Because there's no need for her to play a role. Because she wants Bailey to retain the title. She doesn't need to cost Bailey the belt. She needs... So it's like, if she wants interference, to help Bailey retain. But I would keep her away from this one. My gut tells me Miss Bliss plays an active role in whatever it is. Whether you hear a maniacal laugh that just sort of puts Alexa in a trance and costs Nikki. Could happen. Or it could just be a clean win for Bailey. 1, 2, 3. I don't know. It'd be cool if you do more story elements to it, since we've seen this match a bunch. But again, this is just a match to get us to the next chapter in stories for both women.
I wouldn't mind having Alexa play a huge factor, especially since Sasha shouldn't play a factor in this at all. And you have Alexa cost Nikki, which then builds kind of the feud between Alexa and Nikki more. And maybe you, like you said, you do the Bray Wyatt tease, where you do have Bray. Although what's interesting about this is she had her interaction with the Fiend, and then they've been very, very specific in keeping her and Bray away from each other. Where she's slowly falling under the Fiend's spell, and she's slowly becoming more and more like the Fiend. Every day, right? But Bray is nowhere to be found. And I asked Roth this question last Friday watching the show, especially now that there is a way to trigger Alexa's Fiend mode.
Fiend mode! Doesn't work as well as Bree mode, but anyway.
It's close.
It works. I mean.
But at some point, Bray's got to come get her, right? Like, if she's going to lose her shit, at some point, somebody has to go to Bray and be like, you going to fix that? And of course, he'll say no. But, like, it feels like there's something coming down the pike where they're going to bring those two together. Back together, I should say, in some way, shape, or form. And I'm still really hoping for the creepy stalker fangirl. And that's not the right word to use for it, but that's the only way I can describe it, where Alexa actively sort of looks for the Fiend, follows the Fiend, knows everything about the Fiend, and in turn knows everything about Bray Wyatt. Like, I'm really hoping that's where they're going with it, but I'm not 100% sure. But going back to the match and going back to Bailey and Nikki, I feel like Alexa needs to play the factor, and she needs to cost Nikki somehow, not intentionally,
no,
cost her, but somehow Alexa either gets involved or somehow she gets triggered, and it's not necessarily a verbal somebody yells the Fiend at her, but something else, like you said, happens that triggers that whatever inside of her, and she goes postal.
Couple things. One, at some point Alexa should stumble into the Funhouse, number one. Number two, imagine a Halloween special hosted by Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Throwing that out there. Credit me when you guys do it. Anyway.
I'm surprised, and I think it's coming, but I'm surprised she hasn't found the funhouse yet. But I think they're doing a slow burn with it,
yeah.
Which I like, and I appreciate very much.
Long-term stories are the better stories.
Like, I like seeing the slow descent into madness, because this is really the first time that we get to see how people change when they interact with the fiend, right? Like, every other time they interact with the fiend, and then they come back and they're different. We actually get to see his impact on somebody and what he does.
Because it makes for a better character, both the person affected and the person who's affecting the person. For better for Bray, it's better for Alexa.
Yeah, and on the flip side, what did being with her do to the fiend? Because obviously, the fiend was weaker.
Yeah.
Much to our chagrin. And he got beat. So could Alexa be making the fiend weak? So many questions, and they have nothing to do with Bailey versus Nikki Cross at all.
Bailey.
Yeah, Bailey's going to win.
8-Ball, does Bailey retain? My sources say nope. Wheel?
Wrestler 1.
Bailey.
All right, up next. The Raw Tag Team Championships are on the line as the Street Profits take on a reunited Andrade and Angel Garza. We're all in agreement. It's going to be the Street Profits that retain, right?
If Andrade and Angel don't win this matchup, they should never, ever fight for the tag titles again, because it's just, we've seen this match multiple times since WrestleMania. We saw it last month. We've seen it many times on Raw and many different in many different ways, so Incarnations is what I was looking for. Street Profits gonna retain. They just were brawling a week ago, Andrade and Garza.
Well, I mean, you know, they're having issues. They're resolved because they're going for titles. Although Andrade's still a little upset. He's still a little hurt. You know, he's kind of looking at Angel like, why did you do that to me? We lost mom because of you.
Yeah, it's a Street Profits. It's just, it makes no sense to take the belts off of them right now. So I'm going Street Profits.
I'm going Street Profits.
8-Ball, Street Profits retain? It is certain. Wheel?
Wrestler 2.
Ooh, going Andrade and Garza. All right.
Okay. Up next in, I don't even know what to call this, but I'm going to hate how I'm going to have to pick this. The WWE Universal Championship is on the line as a newly invigorated Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman takes on his cousin, Jey Uso.
Okay. One, apparently, this is going to be the debut of shirtless Roman.
Fangirls rejoice.
Number two, they're trying their best. Trying their best to make it seem like, hey, Jey Uso, credible? But not really. He's a tag team guy. Let's all be real. This is all part of a family story, which would be interesting if it, at the end of the day, led to a certain jabroni beating, pie eating, eyebrow raising people's champion returning in front of a mega crowd at WrestleMania. Doubtful, especially this year, based on life events. But that would be the whole family story. They're setting Roman Reigns up as the top guy on SmackDown, which he is, clearly. And Jey Uso's just a cog in the wheel to just sort of get them by, because the one thing SmackDown lacks is mid-card talent. That you, like, you have talent you like in Braun, Miz, Morrison, but Miz and Morrison are in the tags, and you got AJ and Jeff, and they're really pushing that heavy as your undercard. So that mid-card's distracted, so you don't really have any top-tier main eventers to push up there other than Bray. So it's like, hey, for this stopgap, Jey Uso works. Be interesting to see what they do 3 weeks from now from the pay-per-view, or 4 weeks from the pay-per-view, where they have to get another contender, because I don't think it'd be dumb to go to Bray in 3 weeks. You got it.
No, I feel like they're going to do a slow burn with Bray.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, and you don't want to put Roman in the cell because he's just coming back. He's not ready. Like, legitimately, his first longest match was this past week, and he wasn't wrestling the whole time. So it's like, and that's why Jay's here, so Jey can take a beating really quick, because I don't expect this to go long. It should not go long. No offense to Jey Uso. He's a tag team wrestler. He should not be going, and this is my biggest complaint, which is what with AEW right now, is they're doing a lot of 50-50. So here's a big, tough singles guy going up against a tag team guy, and they go 50-50 in terms of back and forth. No, your singles guy, your dominant guy, should dominate the weaker opponent. Roman Reigns, clearly miles ahead of Jey Uso in terms of stature in the ring. Roman Reigns should go in there, wreck him, leave. Because if you're making Roman Reigns as badass, he should go in there, wreck his family, boom, be done with it, simple and easy, because that sends a message. Giving Jey Uso a chance doesn't send the message. It makes Roman look weaker. Roman should stomp him into the ground in 3 minutes.
I would agree with that. I will say I like how they've played this, right? Where Roman's kind of almost been leading Jey into this really false sense of security, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because they've been getting along. It's like, yeah, dude, we're cool. We're family. It's fine. But Roman's playing Jey a little bit.
Oh, not a little. All the way.
All the way. Jay's getting super confident. He's getting cocky because he's like, hey, it's Roman. We're cool. It's buds, right? You know, I still got to fight you. I still got to win, but you're not going to take me to school because, you know, it's going to be fine. And I don't think Jey is prepared for what's coming for him, especially in a title defense, because it's like Roman's been gone really since the start of the pandemic. And then prior to that, he lost the title because he had to go out due to his leukemia diagnosis. So this is the first title that he's had really since he's been back from leukemia and from, you know, obviously back from the pandemic.
Because so the WrestleMania was supposed to be his big...
His moment.
His moment. He was a big comeback moment, yeah. He worked a year to get back to that point.
And it didn't happen because of COVID. So he's finally gotten the title back, and he's going to hold on to it with everything he has. And yeah, no offense to Jey Uso, because I feel really bad, right? He's been with the company for over 10 years, I think, at this point. And this is his very first main title opportunity that's not tagged.
Yeah, any singles title.
Any singles title, and he is going to get stomped into the ground.
Should get stomped into the ground.
No, I think it's... if they go longer than 8 minutes in this...
That's too long.
Like, Roman... Like you said, Roman needs to come out there and just destroy him. They need to book... If they're going to book Roman like Brock, which is what they're doing, then have him be Brock. Have him go out there and be unstoppable. Let's not forget, he came back last month and laid waste to Braun Strowman and The Fiend, the two most powerful characters that they have on that show. Roman came in and destroyed them single-handedly, in particular The Fiend. So, now granted, they have been fighting for 10 minutes at that point, but still, you had Roman come in, lay waste to them, and leave and walk out with Bray's title. Then prior to that, he came back and left them both laying the week before. So they're booking Roman Reigns extremely strong. So yeah, if you're going to book him like Brock, book him like Brock. Have him walk out there and destroy his cousin. Because they've been telling the really beautiful story of how Roman and Jey grew up together and what this means. And they're pulling on those heartstrings. They're doing everything right with this. And it's like... And Roman just needs to go out there and commit an atrocity. That's what's going to have to happen.
Roman needs to wreck him hard.
And make it very clear that he's not to be messed with.
Doesn't matter whether you're a friend, foe, or family. Roman Reigns is here to wreck you.
I mean, it's on the shirt. Wreck everyone and leave. I mean, that's the shirt.
Yeah.
So, it makes
show
sense
up and win.
Yeah.
All right. Officially, I'm going Roman.
I'm going Roman. It now is completely not the time for Jey Uso to win a title, as sad as I am to say that, because he certainly deserves one, but it's Roman. It's Roman 1,000% of the way.
April, will Roman Reigns win? Yes. Wheel?
Wrestler 2.
Jey Uso.
Okay. All right. The wheel's just doing a thing.
Time for the main event.
In an ambulance match, you have your champion, Drew McIntyre, taking on... The Viper, Randy Orton, who incidentally has been doing some of his best work as of late. And this may or may not have shenanigans because, as we saw on Monday, Retribution seemingly vanished when Randy Orton appeared.
They did.
So, does that mean Retribution could reappear when Randy Orton needs them to?
They could. It is my belief that Randy Orton should hold the WWE Championship right now. I've been saying that leading into SummerSlam. He should have been your WWE Champion. I understand why Drew is your champion, but a little back and forth doesn't hurt anyone. We've had the situation with Keith Lee, and I'm surprised that he is not thrown into this matchup, but you can't do a triple threat ambulance match because then you have to put two people in the ambulance. So I understand why it's one-on-one.
COVID and everything is just awkward.
Well, it's less awkward. It's wrestling. Because we have a triple threat ladder match on the show.
But they're not going into a small, tight space.
Well, you never fight in the ambulance. You just toss someone in the ambulance.
But you have to fight two people in the ambulance.
No, you don't actually fight in the ambulance. You fight around the ambulance.
Right, but then to win, you have to fight two people in the ambulance, and it's a small, tight space.
But you're not helping. No, you put them on the stretcher and you shove them in.
And they both have to go in.
No, they don't. Well, no, the loser only goes in.
But if it's three people.
Oh, but you can't. That's not how that works.
But that's what I'm saying. It's awkward. It's a small, tight space.
Now I understand where you were going with it.
The COVID.
I understand what you meant by going. Okay. Anyway.
He doesn't listen to me, Chad. Ever. He doesn't listen to me.
Again, that's the biggest lie you ever tell. In terms of this match, again, I think Randy should win it. But I don't know. I get the feeling Drew's going to retain. Because it's... The way these matches work, it's usually better if the babyface wins and sends the heel off in the ambulance. I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to ask this question.
Okay.
When Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton are done, and say Drew McIntyre retains, who's next?
Keith. In either direction.
But do you do babyface versus babyface, or do you do babyface versus heel?
I'd rather do babyface versus heel. That's always been my thought process. I can also see them doing a triple threat match at the next pay-per-view. I legitimately can see it.
Because, I mean, like I said, Retribution is likely to play a factor in this. What it will be, I don't know. But Retribution will be on the show, and they will be involved in an important decision somewhere. Also, where the hell are Kevin Owens and Aleister Black? Why aren't they on this show?
Because it's only title matches.
Fair enough.
The Clash of Champions. Only time
you could
matches.
Have like one that's not.
Do we really? We have 9 matches. Do we need any more?
I mean, no.
There you go. There you answered your own question.
You're an asshole. Anyway.
What? I gave you facts.
Anyway.
She lives to call me an asshole, by the way.
Every day.
It's one of her pride and joys.
Working in at some point. Anyway. So, I think it's difficult, right? It's very, very difficult because Drew's been doing a wonderful job holding the title as champion. He's been carrying the company ever since WrestleMania. He got his very first title win at Mania when he should have gotten it in front of 100,000 screaming people. Instead, he got it in front of an empty PC. He has more than proven his worth as a champion, but I think at this point it's time. I think Randy has been doing an equally great job as a heel. Drew is always better when he chases. I think it's more interesting with Randy having the title because there's a lot of things going on with Randy that we don't necessarily see yet that are kind of just now starting to come to the forefront. Is he a part of Retribution? Is he not? Because as we kind of theorized on Monday, Retribution got contracts. Okay. There's only one person technically who can authorize that because Postman Pierce, authority figure Pierce, doesn't necessarily have that power. He has to get that power from somebody. The only established power in the company that can do that is either a McMahon or a Helmsley, right? Those are the only people in that company technically that can authorize that in terms of TV. Obviously, there are several layers between that in real life does that. But in terms of the show, in terms of authority figures, Hunter, Steph, Vince, and Shane are the only 4 people that could give a contract on Raw. Randy has a past with all 4 of those people, but in particular has a past with Shane. Good and bad, but he has a past with Shane. So could Randy and Shane and Retribution all be working together? Because, hey, Retribution's a bunch of PC wrestlers, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the PC wrestlers have been in the underground. What a great way to recruit people to your cause and set up an illegal but not illegal fighting ring.
Yeah.
At your father's place of business.
Yeah.
So, me personally, I would like to see Randy win. I feel like Drew can always win it back. And honestly, I would like to see him get the win back in front of a crowd so he gets that moment. I know it's not the first one, but still, he gets that moment in the sun with the crowd where everybody's screaming with joy because he won.
And that could be in 6 weeks. We don't know.
Could be in 6 weeks. Could be never. We have no idea. But I'm going Randy. Who are you going?
I'm going Randy. Gonna be wrong, but I'm gonna go Randy. 8-Ball, does Drew McIntyre retain on Sunday? Yes, definitely. Magical Wheel?
Wrestler 1.
Which would be Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
So that does it for us. Pick'em-wise, go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork and give us your picks this weekend.
Ding. And you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
I do. Saturday night, midnight-ish, CB Radio. Insert an evil laugh from Jobber here. Because Brent screwed. That's a Saturday night, midnight-ish.
And are they doing... Wait.
Yes.
You're doing it?
I believe, oh, yes! I believe we're doing it, yes.
Yes! Thank you, Jobber.
I believe we're doing it this Saturday. It's greatdebate.com. Sunday, they'll be live following pay-per-view, Clash of Champions Gold Rush. 10 p.m. probably-ish for us to talk radio. We'll be back Monday for the Raw Potion. We'll be back live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review Clash of Champions Gold Rush and preview NXT TakeOver 31. Direct radio show on all social media platforms is at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can subscribe for free at twitch.tv/WTLive by hitting that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use credit code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop or the Epic Games Store, as Rocket League is now free to play for all, a part of the Epic Games collection. Woohoo! That's a hashtag app. Llama Rama this weekend. Earn free stuff.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at LynnsWard, LANSWRD, and you can follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/LynnsWard. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And we just want to say thank you to everybody for listening. Hope you enjoy this. Like we said, we will be live next week, 10 p.m., right here on WildTalkRadio.com with the regular show for our pay-per-view preview for NXT TakeOver 31. In terms of Fortnite with Friends, which normally airs after the live show, stay tuned to the Twitters for an announcement about that. We will let you know if that's going to go live or not. But obviously, that's not going live after this, because this is a pre-tape, and you're probably listening to this whenever you want to listen to it, because that makes complete sense. So don't stay tuned for Fortnite with Friends, but definitely check out the other videos on our Twitch channel. And all the, you know, archive, the massive archive of content. Oh my god, it's massive on WildTalkRadio.com.
Oh my god, it's massive, and more is coming of extra content.
So much content.
Yeah, yeet, and dab.
All the content. So, till we see you again, he's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and this has been The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we're out, so bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.